What's up, shelf addicts? Welcome back to the Shelf Addiction Podcast. Today on Book Chat, we are covering the January buddy read, For Your Own Good, written by Samantha Downing. Stay tuned. Hey everyone, I'm your host, Tamara, and welcome back to the podcast. If you're new here, we feed your shelf addiction with fun book conversations, bookish topics, and more. It's like listening in on your favorite book club. Participate in this discussion by joining the Facebook group, Shelf Addiction Official, or on the book club's app. I hope to hear your thoughts on today's show. You can always find me and Classy on Twitter and Instagram. The links for everything I've mentioned are below in the show notes. If you enjoyed today's episode, please support this podcast by sharing it with some book nerd friends or on your favorite social media space. And don't forget to hit that like button and subscribe before you leave. That will really help me out, and I appreciate you for doing so. The uncut video version of this podcast is available now on Patreon. Join us there for exclusive videos, including after shows, special episodes, and more. So if you're interested in that at all, you'll need to come on over to Patreon and sign up. As always with Book Chats, we talk spoilers here, so you've been warned. Without further ado, let's begin. We've got a lot to talk about today, so we are going to get started. Joining me is the Buddy Read feature co-host Classy Green from the Bookish Virtual Assistant. Welcome back, Classy.
Hey, happy 2023.
Yes, happy new year to you. This is our first Buddy Read of the year. I'm excited.
Yes, me too.
Yes, I think we have a lot to talk about today. I am prepared for better or worse. So this is what
I know.
So, you know, we do have an after show today. It's available right now on Patreon. So if you would like to check that out or see the unedited version of this podcast, because there will be plenty of things that I bleep out of here, you won't hear. You need to head on to over to Patreon and check that out and sign up there. Okay, so let me give a disclaimer. I feel like I want to give a disclaimer in 2023. In my soul, I'm feeling it because I just got finished watching some author behaving badly on this one chick on YouTube.
I don't want that.
So let me give disclaimers this year. Hopefully I can remember to do it every time. But our discussions are for readers and any other variation of that if you're a reader. But they are not for authors. They're not to boost your ego, authors. They're to share with readers and give our opinion. Our opinion. That's it.
Enough said.
That's it. So
we know how some of y'all like to tussle out there.
I know. Look, don't try me. Please, Lord. My block game is strong. I'm protecting my energy this year.
Oh, gosh. That's funny.
Look, I don't hesitate. Block, block, block. Report, report, report. So let's not go there. Yeah. Let's not do it. All right. So as we do, we will give the stats, the synopsis, and then we will jump right on in. So today we are discussing the book For Your Own Good, written by Samantha Downing. The audiobook was narrated by David Patu. It was published July 20th, 2021 by Berkeley. The audiobook was published by Penguin Audio. The ebook format comes in at 379 pages, and the unabridged audio comes in at 10 hours and 37 minutes. Classy, would you kindly share the synopsis?
Yes, For Your Own Good by Samantha Downing. Teddy Crutcher has won Teacher of the Year at the esteemed Belmont Academy, home to the best and brightest. He says his wife couldn't be more proud, though no one has seen her in a while. Teddy really can't be bothered with the death of a school parent that's looking more and more like a murderer, or the student digging a little too deep into his personal life. His main focus is on pushing these kids to their full academic potential. All he wants is for his colleagues and the endlessly meddlesome parents to stay out of his way. It's really too bad that sometimes excellence can come at such a high cost. And I know. The thing is like, I really like that synopsis because it didn't give like a whole lot away. I thought it was a fun synopsis.
It was. It was really good. And that scene. That's what it is after that. So this book, before we talk about our highs and, you know, our what we thought at the end, I just want to say this book, it's been a minute, I feel like, since I read a book with this many point of views in it.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. So I shared this in book club, but I'm going to share it with you guys on Patreon and on the podcast. So you can't see it if you're on the podcast, but you can hear me talk about it. So in my book review journal here, shameless plug, I actually used highlighter colors, like little tabs with everyone's names to help remember who is saying what. Because on the Kindle app, what I did was I listened on audiobook and I read on Kindle. And in Kindle, you have like 5 different color options when you highlight things. So I coordinated the colors of my highlight with the colors that I wrote noted in my journal. So that, like, when I go back and look at things, if I'm trying to find something or I highlighted something that I need to search, I can quickly recall, oh, who probably said that based on the color coding?
Yeah.
Because it's so much going on. Without it, it's going to be hard to figure out if you're looking at something, who said what.
Yeah.
So it's just a little quick, you know, trick I learned, especially like, because, you know, I've been tabbing things in actual books. So I'm like, how can I make this work for an ebook? And it works. Now, it doesn't work on a regular Kindle because you can't use the color coding. You can only do it in the Kindle app. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm using the Kindle app.
Okay.
You know, because the Kindle's black and white, it's grayscale.
See, and I thought I could do that in my Kindle. Because I know if I highlight, I think I can highlight and make a note, but I got to check this.
But can you highlight in colors?
Yeah.
You can on the Kindle?
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
Well, I must have an old one.
I'll have to check. I think I have like the Kindle Fire or something.
Okay, so the Fire is a tablet. It's not a regular Kindle.
There it is.
So you have a colored screen.
Mm-hmm.
So the regular grayscale Kindles.
You can't do that. Okay.
No.
Okay. Kindle Fire is a tablet.
Yeah.
I just say, Garrett, where's my Kindle?
Yeah. And I just looked. I double checked. It's 4 colors in the Kindle app. They should make it 5 colors because I needed to use one color more than once. So I ended up putting all of the students as one color.
Ah, so okay, I knew because there was
Zach, Courtney, and Fallon.
Yep.
So I have 3 people in one color, Teddy in one, Frank in one, and Sonia in one. Even though Sonia, spoiler alert, died pretty early.
Yeah. And the other thing, like you were in this book with this so many points of view, and like you were saying in a paperback or hardcover or print version, like with this book, you'd have been tabbing your ass off because these chapters were pretty short. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you struggled. Well, you did the Kindle. I didn't. I just did all audio. I struggled a little bit because midway in a chapter, it moved to another POV.
Mm-hmm. It sure did. You know?
And I would look and I was like, did it move to another chapter? But it didn't. It was, we were in the same chapter, but we would go from like Teddy to Fallon, just an example. And I don't know if that, you know, those were the two people, but just, you know, and it'd be like, huh? But I mean, it was fun, but I can imagine you tabbing in a print copy.
You know, what would have helped that in the audiobook is if they had more than one narrator.
Yep, exactly.
If they had at least 2. A female narrator and the male narrator, that would have helped break up that a little bit because we have change of character and sexes in the same book, in the same paragraph, you know, not paragraph, but the same chapter, you said. So it could be Teddy and then Sonia right after it.
Right. So how did they do that in the Kindle? Did it like switch maybe italics or just break in paragraph? I'm assuming break in paragraph.
Yeah, I'm just scrolling right quick. Okay. So sometimes they had little headings, depending on what it was. A lot of the times they just had the little dots in between.
Okay, gotcha. The ellipses.
The ellipses, thank you. Yeah, because there were not any names, but you could just tell because, like, for example, Zach had a headache, not because he's sick, blah, blah, blah. We know this is Zach's channel, you know, his little words. So it says, like, within the first two sentences of this section, you can tell who's speaking or who's thinking.
Right.
Because of, you know, they say their name. It's like it's... Name. What is this?
Third person narration, is it?
Yeah, omniscient. It's kind of omniscient, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because she tells us what they're doing and thinking.
Mm-hmm. So it was, especially when you're doing audio and you're, you know, like, because with audio, you're multitasking, and all of a sudden it's just like, wait a minute, I switched to another person. Okay. And I got used to it after a while, but I did take note about that. And I know we talk about the narrators kind of later on in the
podcast. Talk about it now? Because I have one comment. Let's do the narrators first.
Okay, maybe let's switch it up
and do the narrators beforehand so we don't forget.
Okay, let's do that now.
All right, so what are your comments on the narrator?
He got on my nerve.
Really? Why?
He pissed me off because I felt like some of his female voices sucked.
Okay.
Like, especially the older ladies. You know, like, once sounded like she smoked Newports, and I'm like, she's not that damn old. I mean, granted, you know, I understood, like, he was trying to make, okay, this was the older woman. Was it, like, his assistant, the headmaster's assistant, Marsha, or whatever? But there were times it was just, like, cratchety. He was not my favorite, and I don't think he did female voices well.
I think I would concur, but I don't think I noticed too much, only because I was listening at such a high speed.
Oh.
He was talking so slow. And I'm a naturally fast reader, too. So if I'm like, because, you know, I'll alternate. I was listening and reading, and sometimes I was doing both at the same time. And when I was reading, I'm like, speed the hell up. Like, I'm reading far, far faster than you're talking. So I was listening at like 2.5.
Oh, then you didn't notice.
Was slow a little bit. So I think if I was only listening, I don't know if I could have maintained 2.5 if I was only listening. Mm-hmm. But it was harder for me to tell the complications that you're having because I was listening so fast.
Yeah, I thought his intonation for women, you know, there was a few, maybe like the younger, like Courtney and Fallon, he did well. But I felt like when it came to Sonia, Ingrid, you know, the older women, I was like, he just seemed like he was trying too hard to make it female. I don't know. But it just didn't seem natural to me.
Okay.
And it may have seemed more natural if the characteristic, if the author described them as, you know, crotchety, you know, like if somebody's crotchety, it does sound like they have like a irritating, annoying voice or yeah. And I just didn't get that. And at one point it felt like all the older women were crotchety in my head whenever he narrated for them. But he was okay as a teenage girl. I thought he was okay with Courtney and Fallon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Honestly, I didn't think he was a great pick either, but I think I saved myself the misery, I think.
Yeah. And I listened at like 1.5 because I listened to this through one of my library's apps, not Libby. It was Access 360. And I could not figure out how to increase the speed.
Oh,
like
no.
Every time I went, the app is not really friendly. So I just kept it at, I think 1.5 was probably where I used it the last time. So I just kept it there. So yeah, but he was not my favorite, but I agree with you that two narrators probably would have really helped deliver this story
better. Yeah, I agree. Okay. So high level, when you finished the book, what did you think?
I thought that's it. Mm-hmm. I'm listening, like, you know, because at the end part when he kept rubbing something into his hand, which was, I can't remember.
I'm
the
like,
name
something,
of-
somebody poisoned him. I thought that immediately.
Yeah, and it kept drilling in that, and I'm like, please don't say this is how it's going to end. Please don't say this is how it's going to end.
I know.
And I mean, it would have been okay that he was poisoned, but mm-hmm. you know, the rest of it was like, oh, how?
I know.
Typical. How do you go from all the twists and turns and the different POVs and all the, you know, all this other stuff, and you end like this? Like,
I wanted a bang, like something. I kept, look, as I got closer to the end, I'm like, how's he gonna get found out? Like, he is nowhere close to being found out.
Right, because she kept us like that, yeah. Cat and mouse, like she kept us with each chapter wanting more. And I think that's what, like you were saying, the high level when you end it, and you were like,
flat.
You, yeah.
Total. It's like a face plant at the end. I just could not understand. I just did not like the end at all. And then it just seemed so weird to me how, like, Fallon was going strong. She had all the links, all the things. And then suddenly she's dead. She's just dead. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. But I knew he had to kill her because he kind of caught on that she was on to him.
She sent one too many emails.
Yeah, and she was out for revenge. So we knew she was going to die. I didn't expect her to die that way, which I thought the way she died was probably one of the more clever ways.
He deviated from his method.
Mm-hmm.
Because he got all the people he wanted arrested. So he had to do something else.
Different. Yes. Right. And she was in an old building, and it was, you know, stated earlier, the heat was out and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, perfect. How perfect. Yeah. But yeah, as we got closer to the end, it seemed like she ran out of steam. Because even with Zach, like, reporting to the police what he knew, it wasn't believable, you know? Mm-hmm. It was like, how you need to prove your case, like, dude, you have a lot
proof.
Of evidence.
Show the proof.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're dealing with the effing FBI, not just local Barney Fife folks.
And then they go, though, and they talk to Teddy, and they're like, oh, we understand. Don't worry about it. Yeah, we know the kids got a problem with you. Okay, we understand kids with problems. Okay, bye. Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, it's too much a coincidence. There's a pattern.
Yeah.
Do we need to bring in somebody from Quantico? Come on. Because I don't know what FBI agents you guys are. Because I'm like, this is not Quantico. This is not, or, yeah. Because these folks.
Stuck on stupid.
Man.
They were like constantly the whole, every time they arrest somebody, they were doing the whole, what's it called? When you're just trying to prove what you think you already know. It's a term for it, and it's skipping my mind right now. But
okay. Yeah. Teddy was like, they can't even solve the crime. I can't believe the police. And, you know, and he was getting pissed off, like, here, I got to fix this shit, basically, because they can't fix it. And I was like, at one point, I was like, you damn right.
These police are dumb.
Yeah.
Very dumb. Confirmation bias. That's what it's called.
Oh, okay.
You know, when all you're looking for is to confirm what you think you know, or what you know, and that's it. You're not looking at anything else. You're not looking for anything else.
Right.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, that's it. It was at the end. It was like, here, you guys have a pattern. You basically kind of, it's sitting in your face that this is a guy who did it.
You know what? Let me tell you. I was expecting, okay, now this is going to sound wild, but I'm telling you, I expected Teddy to die by milk. Only because at the end of that book, I was like, how many times did the author use the word milk? I was disgusted with the word milk. So I looked it up. Can you guess how many times the word milk was used in this book? Take a wild stab. You're not going to believe it.
75.
Oh, no, you're over. 49 times.
Wow. Yeah, she did.
I'm like, why is she constantly saying milk? I'm like, oh, my God.
And I thought she was using it because I know sometimes with milk, especially like with certain meds, if you drink milk, it will cancel out the effect. So I was like, okay, so is he drinking, is she kind of like setting us up for he's going to drink milk to, you know, if somebody wants to kill him with something, it's not going to affect him because he drinks milk. No,
no,
that's not how it was used. It was just because of, yeah, it was.
And he has some weird, like, okay, I'm like, okay, nah, I might sound a little mean, but my God, he is a grown man. It seems like the only thing he drank, which was supposed to be on special occasions, quote unquote, because he was lactose intolerant, was milk. But every time he turned around, I enjoyed some milk. I treated myself with some milk. I said, dude, do you drink bourbon, water, Coke? Pepsi?
No, he drinks Overweis milk. That's all I can think of is because he was in a glass bottle. Yes. I was like, okay,
the so fancy he's got his milk.
He's got his little Overweis.
And to me, I just find that so sickening to think of a grown adult. Like, let me sip this glass milk. I cannot.
In my fancy glass.
I cannot.
That's all I pictured in my head, that he had his highball glass.
Yes, full of milk. And I cannot say how disgusted that made me feel. I'm like, I cannot. So that with the milk. And yeah. My second thing that I also searched how many times she had used this word was worms. She always talks about worms in the stomach. I'm like, she said that too many times for me
because I didn't even
like that phrase. I don't like that. There's another way you can say your stomach is like gurgling or rumbling or flipping over. Yeah. But she said worms in the stomach, and I searched it 8 times.
Yeah, because it was almost like a nervous thing whenever he got the worms, because I think that whenever something with the wife, he got that anxious, you know, feeling or the stomach turning, basically, that's what it was, you know, or that stomach pit feeling. So, yeah, I do remember the worm feeling because he said he mentioned it as a kid. He had it.
Yeah. So like no time for the worms today. Blah, blah, blah. Those worms creeping in his stomach. The worms move around in his stomach. The worms are starting to wake up.
I know it was like, was she using that as a technique to make him, you know, to seem weirder than. Or psychopathic. I don't know. But yeah, the milk
stayed
and the worms.
In bed till the worms tired out. Your remorse was having your insides replaced with worms. The longer he stayed in bed, the more worms there were.
Yeah. There could have been another term.
So those two things were just pounding on my brain. In the background while I was reading this. After the first couple times, I'm like,
oh. Yeah.
Worms. Or bury his ass and let some worms eat him. I mean, I wanted like something to come back and play.
Tie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I almost thought when I heard the worms, I thought it was going to be tied to the poison in the plants.
Yeah.
You know, that and that's just my head. Like I was saying, the milk and the poison and the worms and the plants.
Mm-hmm.
But nope, she did not. Because I did write that down, like, okay, this milk, if it's not addressed, you know, like, there's one of those plot holes. But
yeah,
it wasn't even a fucking plot hole. The damn man just had a damn, you know. And I was like,
he had like a
nasty, shitty mess. All the milk he drank.
He should have been in there with. He should have been taking lactate with that milk. All the milk.
Thank you. That's your location. She should have mentioned. I popped my pill before I, you know, had my special drink. Or when he went to the store to buy it, he had to buy, you know, a pack of lactate.
He's a milk addict, like a drug addict or something. Let me get that milk. And it's so.
I ain't never heard nobody like milk that damn much.
And it's so funny to me because, like, at the beginning, we found out he was poisoning people by putting, like, a little bit of drugs in their K-cups. So he wasn't even going for the milk at first. It was in K-Cups. It was in Old Girl Salad. It was just everywhere. And then he used milk as like the way to mass poison several people.
Right. And then try to act like he you know, and he poisoned himself because he drank that.
What a lunatic.
Too.
I'm like, okay, dude. You know who he reminded me of a little bit? Not in the I'm stalkery in love with you kind of way, but in the I'm crazy and I can keep killing kind of way and never get caught. Is Joe.
No. You too.
Yes.
You wrote that down too? Yeah.
Yes.
I got the Joe
Goldberg. I wrote it down right here.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, he's giving me some Joe Goldberg vibes here. Yeah. Can you ask for your own good?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm only looking out for your best
for
interest
you.
Because you're a little asshole and you need a lesson.
Let me go put you down in the basement in the glass, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You need to be knocked down a couple pegs. I'm only doing this for your own good.
I know. As a matter of fact, I can hear him saying, Becca.
Yeah.
Becca, you know. Yeah.
And it's like it's insane the things he's doing and he doesn't get caught. He doesn't get caught.
And the funny thing is the opening line in this book, and I wrote it down because I was like, ooh, I thought that was a great way to open the book. Entitlement has a particular stench, pungent, bitter, almost brutal. And he was talking about Zach's dad, but in the same token, he was describing himself as well.
Yes.
Because he had a sense of entitlement as a teacher and standing in that powerful position.
Mm-hmm.
And when you just made that, you know, statement about, you know, the Goldberg, Joe Goldberg, you thing, I'm just doing it for your own good and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you were entitled too.
Yes.
It was just a different form. But it wasn't money. It was power.
Right. And who's to say, you know, right? What makes you so smart and think you know how everyone should be acting? Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, when it came out, what he did to Fallon, I'm like, God damn, that was fucking rude.
Man,
she didn't even see it coming. She was blindsided by it. So if you didn't read the book, what happened was, so Fallon was a student. He found her very annoying, you know, goody two shoes, you know, and of course Fallon wasn't perfect because she actually blackmailed the headmaster. Mm-hmm. With his gambling addict stuff.
Yeah. But
what he did was he did not really let her know that he had a problem with her. So he let her go on thinking that they were cool. She asked for a recommendation. You know how people write, the teachers write those letters to the universities. He wrote a scathing letter saying that he thinks she cheats. He doesn't even think that her writing's her own. I would not let her into your finest institution. He trashed her ass. Trashed.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
And her whole career, her life just tumbled out of control after that. Like, she couldn't go to her school she wanted. She couldn't get into any school. What a mess. And then she finally got into like some, was it?
State school.
Yeah, some state school.
Yeah, she didn't get into any of the Ivy League schools, which when you go to this academy, you're basically kind of guaranteed into.
They're turning out Ivy kids. Elite. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she was not. And she basically became depressed and roped or whatever. Basically, she spiraled out of control and dropped out.
Dropped out. Didn't even finish her state school. And what does she do? She's like, I'm going to return home and get a job. As you know, she's like a teacher that replaced the teacher that died. So I guess lucky her, the teacher died, because she's been sitting around town for months stalking his ass, trying to get away to get back at him.
Yeah, putting up cameras, everything, watching him.
Yes.
So she was probably like a task force sub, just waiting for somebody to call off.
Yes. And this is like a perfect example of why you just don't do people dirty like that. You never know what kind of person they are and what it will take for to break them. Because here she is back again. She wrecked his marriage. And he deserved it because he lied. He deserved it.
Yeah.
But so what happened in the marriage was he lied to his wife and said, yeah, I want to have kids. Sure. The wife starts pushing. time to have kids, hon. Time to start working on the kids. He's like, well, let's wait. And behind her back, he goes and gets a vasectomy behind her back. And then when they can't have kids, he's like, oh, it's my fault. We can't have kids. You know, she just kind of accepts it. But what does Fallon do? She, through her investigative methods, she finds out and sends the wife the bill, a fake bill.
Mm-hmm. She for the vasectomy.
She his wife abruptly left him with a quickness. And I don't blame her.
The bill on the table.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, what is, right? Because he kept just saying, yeah, she left it with, you know, that bill on the table and it's just going to sit there. And I'm like, damn, was that a high ass electric bill? What kind of bill? What kind of bill did she leave? I was like, damn. She turned on like all the lights and just left.
You know, there is no explanation needed. You plop that bill down, you know what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
And he's delusional. He kept lying to people like they were still together. Like, what?
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh. It really was. And, you know, and in this book, it was like everybody thought that they were doing what was best for the, you know, the next person. Like, even Zach thought he was doing, you know, what was best for Courtney and Fallon. You know, everybody thought they were doing what was best for the next person. Frank.
Y'all, wait, we gotta take a break. Let's take a commercial break. Check out these commercials by listening to those. You are supporting the podcast. Don't forget to check out the book review journal I just mentioned. It's awesome. We both use it. It's available right now on Amazon. And when we come back, we will continue. We will start with Frank, his crazy butt. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by the Shelf Addiction Merch Store. Check out all the bookish t-shirts, notebooks, mugs, and more. Don't miss out on these original designs, perfect for any book nerd. Support the podcast and visit shelfaddiction.com/merch and pick up your next favorite bookish item. All right, we are back. Yay, we are going to jump into Frank. Classy, what were you going to say about Frank?
You know, because Frank was this like basically religious fanatic teacher who believed that, you know, the teachers, they were all basically sinners, and that's why the kids were going down, basically going to hell. He wound up having an affair with one of the moms. Well, we're not sure, but the mom blackmailed him. And so he tried.
It was Courtney's mother.
Courtney's mom. Yeah. Yeah. So she, because some of these parents, they want their children to go to these elite colleges or Ivy League colleges, but sometimes the kids aren't getting the grades. So the parents would come in there and throw around their weight and say, hey, you need to change so and so's grade. Courtney's mom basically set him up, probably roofied his drink, or just, no, you know what? I don't even think she roofied him. She just, because he didn't drink much, so she just kept loading him up with drinks.
And she wasn't drinking. She was acting like she was drinking.
She was drinking, and took some pictures of him in, you know, compromising positions, and he tried to, which was so funny, he put a diuretic in her tea, and he thought and the mom died.
Yeah.
And he thought he killed her. With this diuretic, and
he thought the police were coming for him because of the diuretic in the green tea. And the police were like, wait, let me get this straight. You're saying, you know, and they're like, dude, she didn't even drink the green tea.
And I'm thinking, you had to give her a lot of diuretic. I don't even think you realized, you know, that much. But they wind up, because of what he did, they made him go on leave and basically take a psych.
Yeah.
You know, a little eval.
And yeah, they said he went crazy a little bit. He cracked under the pressure or something.
Yeah. And so he wound up, in the end of the story, became an ordained minister.
Yeah.
And after that, then he really kind of went on the dark side of, you know, you all are going to hell and we need to pray and you know,
and he was very serious too.
Yeah. And I think we kind of touched on it at the beginning of him. He's the one who, in the end of the story, who wind up killing Teddy, the anti-hero psychopath of the story.
Yeah. Like, basically, Frank was like, I guess he felt he needed to clean up everybody's sins and his own. Mm-hmm. So he went and he did ask Teddy several times. He's like, I asked him to pray. It seems like if Teddy had given him the prayer that he wanted, he might not be dead.
Right. All you had to do was just pray with me. And I think, you know, because prayer changes things and prayer could have helped you. Mm-hmm. But no, you needed to be fixed for lying to your wife, lying about everything else. And
here's the quote.
I'm doing God's work.
Here's the quote. He knew Teddy was a liar. Knew Teddy was a godless man who refused to pray or ask for forgiveness. But he had no idea Teddy was capable of hurting someone, and killing someone or several people seemed unthinkable. Dun, dun, dun. So he's like, I would do it. He's like, because you're godless, you have to die.
Yep. And that's exactly, again, for everybody's good.
Yeah. And Frank prayed on it. He prayed for guidance and help and some clarity. And he came up with murder Teddy. God told you to do it.
Right, I'm doing God's work.
No, your psycho brain told you to do it.
Doing God's work. And the funny part at the end, and if you can find that quote, it was like he wanted to, he knew how to kill, but he didn't know how to hide it, or, you know,
yes.
That part I cracked up.
Yeah, it was hilarious. Let's see if I can find it right quick. So here's the part. I did highlight it, actually. He knew how to kill Teddy, but he didn't have a clue about how to get away with it.
Away with it. That was it.
Everyone at the memorial had a camera, and the whole ceremony was recorded by a professional.
We're sitting there watching you.
And they found the remnants of the crushed rosary pea in his garbage disposal. What an idiot.
Yeah. And all I can think of is, you know, you could possibly claim insanity.
Yeah, he probably did.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, you cracked
the
first time trying
to... He was arrested. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. I was just like, these characters...
It's funny.
And the thing is, like, this is supposed to, you know, it's the academia setting and kind of, it wasn't as dark. And I don't think she even, you know, marketed it as dark, but,
no,
you know,
yeah.
it was suspenseful. It was a mystery because we knew who killed, you know, but it was suspenseful, definitely suspenseful, and had this, you know, thrilling kind of moments. But I thought, even though it was 10 hours, that it was a quick read.
Yeah,
because it, you know, the chapters were pretty short, and but I think even with, you know, all the killing in the story, her writing of the killings, it was still kind of light. You know, it wasn't
like it wasn't gory. There was no explanation of like foam, like a lot of people foaming and seizing, and it wasn't like you had a whole bunch of that. It was essentially, oh, dang, they drunk that, kind of froze up a little bit and dropped down and they're dead. I mean, you know.
Right, or so-and-so, like I think Frank said, Sonia seized, like she had a seizure. But it wasn't. There was a lot of killing, but it wasn't, like, over-the-top graphic.
You just poison people. It's just a little poisoning.
Just a little poison, like they just passed out and maybe held the chest and was like,
I mean, it's just a little more to what he was doing to people the whole time. Like at the beginning of the book, y'all, he says, essentially, like, this is not a quote, but he's like, you know, I've just been practicing and learning what works on people. You know, someone's acting like they got a stick up their ass. I'll just give them a little something to help them relax. And if this person, he's giving them all kind of medications and opioids and stuff in their K-cups to affect their mood. Because, you know, each teacher has their favorite K-cup that they use. So this person, yo, Dark Roast, dude, that's for you. This is your Dark Roast.
Mm-hmm. Need to lighten up a little bit.
Do not ever change your coffees, ever.
Girl, I don't even know if I want to drink K-cups at work no more. Bring
your own. Yes, bring your own.
When I saw that, I was like, well, I be damned. Because I realized, you know, people have put stuff in people's food like he did with the salad, but the K-cups?
I know.
I was like, holy crap.
I know. No one's investigating for a little puncture hole. You are blindly picking that thing up, putting it in the machine, slamming it down, and carrying on. Yep.
Yeah. And with the little needle, the way he was doing it, yeah. it wouldn't have been real obvious.
You wouldn't have seen it unless you were looking for it.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they had every character was basically every character did have a motive for killing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though they weren't probably the one who killed, but everybody did have a motive. I mean, yeah. Courtney, she didn't like her and her mom fought. I don't know.
To me, fighting isn't a motive to kill someone, though.
No. But, I mean, the way they made it seem is she hated her. The mother slapped her in front of people. She was trying to push her to go to Yale. So she was kind of, you know, in teenage angst and parents, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Teenagers have killed their parents for less.
Yeah, they have. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I thought about that. Like, and the way she set it up, I was like, okay. I got that everybody could have been possibly a suspect in the killing of yada yada yada.
Yeah. So. And it's true because even, you know, Zach, they tried to blame him. Like, dude, you were trying to help Courtney, so you went off and killed some people. So
mm-hmm. Right. You bribed the guard.
Yeah.
You know, how entitled are you? Mm-hmm. You know, and I thought too, like with him and his entitlement, even when he went to the hospital and was able to get past, you know, like the ER and triage and go in the back, because, you know, like he said, I'm a handsome young white male, nobody suspects me, and I put on the charm, I get in places nobody else can get into, basically. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, they're just like these typical entitled kids. They acted like typical wealthy entitled kids. And
yeah.
Sir, if you hate that, go teach at a public school in the hood and try to help people if that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
Like, why are you trying to teach these people a lesson? Get out of here.
And it's not going to work.
No.
And even he was saying, too, that even though he was working at this school, he couldn't even afford to, like, shop in any of the really nice stores. And it was like, yeah. So what is your, why? Is it, mm-hmm. you know, what were you really getting out of this that, I mean, granted, teaching is, you know, well, most people, they teach because of, they want to change the world or whatever. But it was clear that, I wonder, is like, did he get into this, that school to teach people a lesson?
Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe, because especially when you're dealing with students of that age. Oh, let him go deal with a public school. He would have lost it. He would have ran away crying.
And I'm just going to be honest, like some of the kids that I work with, Miss Susie could not tell.
Yeah.
Tyrone, you know, sit your ass down.
Yep.
You know what I mean? There's just certain things. And, you know, and they would get to a point where, oh, I can't say that to Miss Green. No, you can't. And there's at certain points you do have to bluff.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was some rough ones.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And the worst part, our kids are just like the kids' parents are just like the parents of this book. Like mm-hmm. Zach's parents. Jenna going to insist they get extra credit, trying to convince him to change the grade.
Yeah.
Kids' parents act ridiculous in the real world. Like they just defend bad behavior and everything.
Yeah. And like Zach's dad, well, I read the paper and I thought it was a good. Really
I thought
good
it was an paper. A paper.
Are you an English major? Are you an English teacher, sir?
Right.
How dare you question my rubric? How I see this paper?
Yeah.
I was like, And the other thing was like, Zach was entitled, but from what I was kind of reading, he wasn't that.
He wasn't that bad.
Asshole entitled.
No,
kid.
He's a good kid. He used his personality to scooch by on a couple of things, but nothing that an average kid wouldn't do if they could get away with it.
Right. Yeah. It was his parents. Because mm-hmm. even him, he was like, I wish my parents would quit coming to the school and trying to, you know, because he felt bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Which is wild because after all of that Zach went through, that's why I kind of felt like Matt at the end. After everything Zach went through to, you know, with Courtney, blah, blah, blah. Now they're off. They're in another school. He's got Courtney and they're happy. And they're, he's like, yay. Now he's like, hey, I think I want to become a teacher. And when I do, I'll return to Belmont. Why? Because someone has to save the kids. It's for their own good. Like what?
Womp, womp, womp.
What?
Really?
No.
I'm just like,
Yeah, dude.
We got another Teddy in the making.
Sound like it, but why? He had no reason to be that way. Like, what is, for what? Like, what was his motivation?
Yeah. And that's where we were saying, like, I thought the closer it got to the end, some of the motives were contrived. It was like, that didn't make, why?
Mm-hmm.
Even though I kind of did like Frank killing off Teddy, but the ending with with Zach, I was like, you guys could have did something better than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. So yeah. It was fine. It was fine.
Yeah.
How do you think our first book of the year went? Before we rate it, do you think our first book of the year was a success?
You know, it wasn't bad. I think to start off the year, I don't think... I mean, like, compared to last year, I would say... this is what I'll say, like... I was in.
Yeah.
I was enjoying it. I was like, with each chapter kept getting, you know, it had its moments where I was just like, yes, yes, what's going to happen next? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, towards the end, it was like, oh, like, did she not make deadline? They were like, wrap it up. I don't know. And she was like, okay, here.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do it this way. Yeah. But I would say our first book of the year, I would say it was a success. Granted, it's probably not, I don't want to get my rating yet, but I would say, because we don't give halves, I would say it was, I think we're on a good start. It had its moments.
Yeah, I would kind of agree with that. Yeah, I think, you know, I was hoping for a hit out of the park for the first one. I was hoping for something that I could measure everything else this year against. But I didn't get that. It wasn't that good. But
no.
It was solid, right? Which is puts us in a much better position than last year.
Right. Because, I mean, like I said, it kept my interest.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like I said, with those problematic issues towards the end and some of the other things. But
and it kind of had a slow start to me. I feel like... maybe it was around 20%. I started actually caring. It took a little bit for me to get going, and I'm not sure why. I think maybe it was because I didn't like Teddy. And then also I had to acclimate to the style of the character switching as they were.
Yeah.
So I had to acclimate to the story. And you know, and how they there was no heading for any of them, like I said. So I'm like, well, it just took a minute to get into it. And then once I was in it, it was fine.
Yeah, I did the same. I found myself rewinding a lot or, you know, like, where? Yeah, so it was that curve of trying to get used to her right. And the thing is, and this is probably what my second Samantha Downing, I think this might be your third, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
but you know, I'm excited. Did you hear about her new book? See,
no.
This is the thing. These synopsises are very good. So, she has a new one coming out in July of this year.
Oh, he's no.
It's called A Twisted Love Story.
Twisted Love Story. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And see, I read a quick little novella. Or I listened to Sleeping Dogs Lie that was Audible.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed the heck out of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she does have a little twisted mind. I will say that. It's just her execution. Like you were saying, there were some things with the execution of some of it. But her mind is twisted. And I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Whenever she you know, when she's on point, or I won't say on point for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, okay.
It seems like with the early reviewers commenting on A Twisted Love Story, the couple that are there, it seems mm-hmm. like she's back in the saddle with that original vibe from My okay. Lovely Wife. You know what I mean? It feels like, just from the couple of comments I've seen, that it might be good. Okay. I don't want to get too excited. It's very early. I don't have access to it yet. So who knows? By the time that date rolls around, what the reviews will look like. But right now, mm-hmm. it seems like...
Right, because you never know if those are just those neg alley people who are just, thank you. Yeah. Don't want to give out the great reviews. Yeah. So yeah, and like you said, this wasn't horrible. But I think for the beginning of the year, I wasn't disappointed. I wasn't sad or like, oh my God, really?
I know. That was a relief yeah. not to feel that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, like, oh God, here we are again. I didn't feel that way.
Yeah.
But like I said, I was kind of disappointed with, you know, a few little things, and especially the way it ended. It was, like you said, face plant.
Yeah.
It could have been better.
All right. So let's rate the thing. What did you rate For Your Own Good?
I give it a 3.
Okay. Ditto. I gave it a 3. Yeah. And if I ever hear the word milk in the next 2 books, I'm going to be over it.
I know.
Don't say book, like, milk or worms to me for the next 2 books.
Yeah. And to not you and the way you use milk after 49 times, that's how you use it.
I know.
I thought, yeah.
I had to look again.
It was deadly, but gee.
I had to look twice because I thought I was tripping. I'm like, 49 times? Let me just double check that.
Yeah, when you said that, I'm like, yeah, she did use it a lot.
49 yeah. times. Here's the proof. The proof is in the pudding. It's right there. So, wow. The pudding that's made with milk, by the way.
Don't you even try it, lady. Do not.
I know.
Yeah.
So with that said, you know, I am looking forward to the next Samantha Downing book. I feel like I'm going to want to read that. It's looking intriguing to me.
Yeah, because like we were saying, like she's got a twist in, I mean, I think she can write, you know, like even with this story, there were some moments in there because, I mean, it was chapter after chapter. What's going to happen next? It kept you on your toes.
Yep.
But then, so she's not one of those ones where I'm just going to give up on.
No. I think she's a good writer. Yeah.
I'm not going to give up on her. This just wasn't what I, you know, I think if the ending would have been different, yeah. I think it, you know, definitely would have been a 4.
Yeah.
And like you were saying, and you would think like the editor would be like, ma'am, you use milk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you use milk too many times. And, you know, and like you said, the worm thing. Mm-hmm. And there were some other, you know, little the FBI, the bumbling FBI and some other things. But other than that, I'm not giving up on her.
No, I mean, honestly, she's a technically good writer. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. there's nothing to complain about, like how she writes or anything like that. And I, yeah. like you said, she has a twisted mind, which is fun. You never know what's mm-hmm. going to happen, what's going to come out of it. So that makes it good. Yeah. So, yeah, definitely going to read more. Yeah, so that's that. So what yeah. we are reading next is The Last Invitation, written by Darby Kane.
Another one we will not give up on.
Well, say that now.
Well, we'll see. We'll see after this one.
Yeah, let's see what happens after we read. But I'm having high hopes, right? I'm pulling it up yeah. now. You can hear me typing. Sorry.
Darby was our January 2022 book.
The one that started us off like WTF and not in a good way.
Yeah.
But we really enjoyed another book by her, which was My Pretty Little Wife, it was called.
Yeah.
And we really liked it. So
yeah.
The Last Invitation, it came out December of last year, and there are not that many ratings yet.
Still not?
Still not. There's only like 778 ratings, which surprises me thoroughly. I'm confused by this.
You know what? I wonder if did the replacement wife scare off some folks?
Because, you know, she hit so high with Pretty Little Wife. Pretty Little Wife was flying high, like so many people liked it, you know. Mm-hmm. And then The Replacement Wife, I think a lot of people were a little disappointed by it. So maybe they're shying away from The Last Invitation, waiting for more reviews before they deal with it.
Right. Because what, just only been out a month, if a full month, right?
Yeah, so we'll see. We will see, but we are going to tackle that in February, and I'm hoping and praying and hoping that we are going to get a lovely surprise, and it's going to be great.
Yes. Looking forward.
Yeah. So I think that's it for today. What do you think, Classy?
That's it. I've crossed off all my notes, everything that I wanted to address with you with this one, and yeah.
All right. Good deal. Well, you guys, be sure to join us over on Shelf Addiction Official on Facebook. Join us in that group or over on the Book Clubs app, and you can talk with us directly about these books at the end of the month. And if you don't like Book Club, no worries. Don't worry about it. We will be right here on the podcast for you next month talking about the next book. So we are going to end things there. You guys have a fabulous day. Happy New Year, and we will catch you in the next one. Take care, guys. If you enjoyed today's episode and would like to show your support, there are a few things you can do. Head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave a positive 5-star review, or like this episode on your favorite podcast player. It seems so simple, but it really helps me out. You can share this podcast with other book nerd friends or on your favorite social media space. You can also join the Shelf Addiction Patreon family. For as little as $2 a month, you will help us produce even more awesome content for your ears. You can also consider joining the Shelf Addiction Official Facebook group, where we talk all things bookish and more in a safe space. The Shelf Addiction Podcast is a part of the Nerdy Maven Network. You can also reach us via email at info@shelfaddiction.com. Thank you for listening.